ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita Summarized, Text Number 62. I'll read from the word for word. It's on page 125 if you have this small version. I'll just read from the word for word. Please repeat. Jayataha Vishayan Pungsaha Sangaha Teshu Upajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha Kamat Krodaha Abhijayate Jayato visayang pungsa Sangaste supajayate Sangat sanjayate kama Kamat krodho vijayate Jayato visayang pungsa Sangaste supajayate Sangat sanjayate kama Kamat krodo vijayate Jayato visayan pungsa Sangaste supajayate Sangat sanjayate kama Kamat krodo vijayate Please repeat. You want to try? Jayato visayang pungsa Sangaste supajayate Sangat sanjayate kama Kamat krodho vijayate You want to try, please? Jayato visayang pungsa Sangaste supajayate Sangat sanjayate kama Kamat krodo vijayate Anybody else like to try? Want to try? Okay. So please repeat. Jayataha. While contemplating. Vishayan. Sense objects. Pungsaha. Of a person. Sangaha. Attachment. Teshu. In the sense objects. Upajayate. Develops. Sangat, from attachment. Sanjayate, develops. Kamaha, desire. Kamat, from desire. Krodaha, anger. Abhijayate, becomes manifest. Translation. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. And from such attachment, lust develops. And from lust, anger arises. Purport. One who is not Krishna conscious is subjected to material desires while contemplating the objects of the senses. The senses require real elements, real engagements, and if they are not engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, they will certainly seek engagement in the service of materialism. In the material world, everyone, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, to say nothing of other demigods in the heavenly planets, is subjected to the influence of sense objects, and the only method to get out of this puzzle of material existence is to become Krishna conscious. Lord Shiva was deep in meditation, but when Parvati agitated him for sense pleasure, he agreed to the proposal, and as a result, Kartikeya was born. When Haridas Thakur was a young devotee of the Lord, he was similarly alert by the incarnation of Maya Devi. But Haridas easily passed the test because of his unalloyed devotion to Lord Krishna. As illustrated in the above-mentioned verse of Sri Yamunacharya, a sincere devotee of the Lord shuns all material sense enjoyment due to his higher taste for spiritual enjoyment in the association of the Lord. That is the secret of success. One who is not, therefore, in Krishna consciousness, however powerful he may be in controlling the senses by artificial repression, is sure ultimately to fail, for the slightest thought of sense pleasure will agitate him to gratify his desires. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Sapinang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadama Yang Dadati Swapadantikang Vande Hang Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupang Sakrajatang Sagana Raghunatang Vitang Thang Sajivang Sadvaitang Savadutang Parichana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripriye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhara Savasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Jayato Visayam Pungsa Sangaste Supajayate Sangatsan Jayate Kama Kamat Krodho Vijayate. So this is a very important verse. Of course, when we read Bhagavad Gita, we should know that it is Bhagavan Uvacha. There's many persons, not so many, but a few persons speaking here, like Dhritarashtra is speaking, and Sanjay is speaking, and Arjuna is speaking. And whenever they're speaking, it says Arjuna Uvacha, Dhritarashtra Uvacha, Sanjay Uvacha. But when Krishna is speaking, it does not say Krishna Uvacha. It says Bhagavan Uvacha. Because Krishna is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means God. Bhagavan means that personality who possesses all opulences in full. Means that Lord Krishna, he possesses all riches, all fame, all strength, all beauty, knowledge and all renunciation. Lord Brahma, he is the first being of this universe. He says, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. That there is no cause above Krishna. He is the cause, Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. He is the Param Ishvar. And his body is Sachit Ananda Vigraha. He has a transcendental body filled with bliss and knowledge. So, when we read Bhagavad Gita, we should understand that Lord Krishna, God, is speaking, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we can take it as authorized. So what is Krishna saying? He is saying, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. And from such attachment, lust develops, and from lust, anger arises. So we discussed it yesterday a little bit, and I discussed also this text 3, in chapter 3, let me see if I can find it again. Because in that purport also Prabhupada refers back to this particular purport, and he also quotes, well, he doesn't really quote it, but he refers to this sloka from the Upanishads. And that sloka is a very special sloka, because it explains that the sense objects are more powerful than the senses. And like I said yesterday, any shopkeeper knows that. You put out the sense objects, you put like a car or diamonds, like you have these diamond shops, and they put out these diamonds in very beautiful displays. And they know if, you know, specifically the woman, if she sees that, then she must have the stone. And she will go to her husband and say that, I want this stone. Or also the husband, he can see the stone. He thinks, my wife should have that stone, you know. And he sees it and he gets attached to it. So like that, the sense objects, they are more powerful than the senses. So like I said, and every shopkeeper knows that you put out the merchandise, and then people, they get attracted, and if they have enough money, they just have this desire that they must have it. And that's the next thing, actually, that Krishna says, you contemplate on the objects of the senses. So you, for instance, this example, you look at the diamond, then you get an attachment for them. You start to think about them. Oh, it's such a beautiful diamond. I want to have it. You get lusty. Because, you know, you think, you get attached to it, you think about it, and then you want it. You want it. And then, if you don't get it, or let's say you buy it and something's wrong with it, you know, there's a flaw, you look at it closely, and you feel cheated. I paid so much money, this shopkeeper, he cheated me, and you are angry and you go back. So from lust, anger arises. Or the most simple example is, for instance, an ice cream. Like a young child, she wants, or he wants an ice cream. And then the father says, no, you just had an ice cream, or you just had chocolate or whatever. And then you say, no, you cannot get it. And then the child will cry, no, I want an ice cream, you know. So this is anger. This is anger. So from lust, anger arises. And actually, I'll say a little bit the next verse. We'll discuss it tomorrow. But this is just, it's part of this verse. From anger, I'll give you the Sanskrit. Krodat bhavati samoha, samohat smirti vibrama, smirti brangsat buddhi nasho, buddhi nasat pranashati, buddhi nashat. Then at the end, buddhi nashat. The buddhi is nashat, is destroyed. From anger, complete delusion arises, samoha, bhavati samoha, so this delusion comes. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. You become forgetful. You fall into illusion or delusion, and you lose your memory. And then if you lose your memory, then intelligence is lost. Buddhi nasat. And then pranashati. If the intelligence is lost, everything is lost, and you fall down. So first you get anger, and then when you become anger, it's actually like a pollution, you know. You cannot think straight anymore if you become angry. Oh, you know, this shopkeeper, he, you know, this diamond, and, you know, you go back to the shop, but it's already past six, so you get into illusion, you know, and then you lose your intelligence, and you don't watch the street, and bang, you get hit by a car. It can happen, you know, so, and then, you know, where will you go? You just think of diamonds, or you might become an animal. This is the greatest danger of life. You have the human form now. You should use it to become Krishna conscious, to become self-realized, to realize, I am not this body, I am a spirit soul, and I have, in fact, like Krishna, I have a spiritual body, and I am Krishna's eternal servant. This is self-realization, to realize that, and to act upon that. If you realize, I am in fact Krishna's eternal servant, then you should also act like a servant. But serving, you must. This is called the dharma. The dharma of the soul is to serve. You cannot not serve. You either serve your family or your children, or you serve your country if you're a soldier, or if you are, like, for instance, Barack Obama, you serve also the country, although it's referred to the most powerful man of the world, and in fact he is, but still he's a servant. And he also has a family, you know, he has a daughter. So he has to serve his daughter, he has to serve his wife. Everybody serves someone, except for Krishna. But the funny thing is, you see here and there, that Krishna, he is actually becoming the servant of his devotee. So even Krishna is a servant, but with him it's voluntarily. With us, we have to serve, and we can either serve the material energy or the spiritual energy, Radharani. So there is no other choice. You can either choose to serve Krishna and his eternal consort Radharani, the spiritual energy, or you can choose not to serve them. This is the meaning of Maya. Maya means that which is not. Because actually there is no such thing as not serving Krishna, because indirectly you'll still serve Krishna. But it is an illusion. You think I am independent from Krishna, but you're actually not independent. But Krishna, he makes you think like that. He will bewilder your intelligence, like we're reading today. If you lose your intelligence, then you can end up anywhere. So anyway, and this is also a verse that you should try to memorize. This is actually the idea when we recite these verses, that we try to memorize them in the beginning when we recite the Jayato. Jayato means meditation. Jhan, and here it's while contemplating. Vishayan Pungsa. Pungsa means human being, a person. Pungsa, it's almost the same word. Vishayan, the sense objects. So a person contemplating on the sense objects. Sanghas. Sangha also means to associate. And here is translated as attachment. Because Sangha means to interact or attach here. Sometimes all this is close Sangha. You associate very closely. Sadhu Sangha. Teshu, that means like, I think it means like that, in the sense objects. Upajayate, it takes birth from the attachment of the sense object, this Sangat. You get this, from this Sangat, you get calm. Sanjayate, calm, lust, or here translated as desire. And kamat krodha abhijayate, from the lust, anger comes. So, this is how it works. So, the idea of Krishna consciousness is, instead of contemplating on, as Prabhupada would say, mayic sense objects, we should contemplate on spiritual sense objects, like Radha and Krishna, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, and Sri Sri Jagannath, Srimati Subhadra Maharani, and Sri Baladev. So we can contemplate on, this is also sense objects, but they're spiritual. Or we can concentrate on the holy name. Or you can listen. We discussed it yesterday with Maharaj Ambarish, that he used all his senses in the service of the Lord. He used his sense of touch to touch the body of the devotees, and his tongue to taste prasadam and the tulsi leaves. So like that we can engage all these senses in spiritual sense objects. And that is actually the whole secret of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada also mentions it in the purport. He says, that is the secret of success. So what is the secret of success? He quotes this verse of Sri Yamanuja Acharya. He says he shunned all material sense enjoyment due to his higher taste for spiritual enjoyment in the association of the Lord. So I will refresh your memory. Yat avadi mama cheta Krishna padara vinde nava nava rasa jayamani udyatam rantum asit tat avadi bata nari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara shushtu nishti vanancha. Since my mind has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and I have been enjoying an ever new transcendental humor, whenever I think of sex life with a woman, my face at once turns from it, and I spit at the thought. So here's the word is nava nava rasa. Newer and newer rasas, newer and newer rasa. The literal translation is taste, but it's not really taste. It is more than taste. It also means relation. Nava nava rasa means newer and newer relations, taste. It's the same relation and taste. This is all inside this word rasa. So because he says here, since your mind is engaged in the service of the Lord, yat avadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinda. Cheta means the consciousness or the heart. Nava nava rasa. I've been enjoying an ever new transcendental humor. So that is the idea, that we need to engage in the service of the Lord, and if we do it properly, we will experience ever new transcendental humor. Like I went through this Bhagavad Gita a few times already, and it gets more ecstatic. Actually, it's not like, oh, we have to do the Bhagavad Gita again the second chapter. Yeah, but it gets more ecstatic actually. So this is Krishna. It's spiritual. It gets more and more ecstatic. Just now I was reading about Yamuna Devi. She left us, and she was also relishing these bhajans of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then she was just relishing it. And then after the bhajan, she was saying such nectar, and she was really relishing this. So she was like 60 or 70. And so the older you get, the more you get into these songs. This is actually also song, Bhagavad Gita. Gita means song. So you get more and more into these songs and this knowledge. And it gets more and more nectar. Nava nava rasa. You can remember this. Krishna is nava nava rasa. Always new. He's also nava yovanam. He's ever fresh. He never gets old. Like in this picture, Krishna was about 100 years old. I think 100 years. He already was a grandfather. He had 10 sons with every wife. He had 16,108 wives. Of course, Krishna could also expand himself in 16,108 Krishnas. He had 16,108 palaces. And every wife, every queen was thinking, oh, today Krishna is with me. And then when he would go to the meeting of the ministers, then all the Krishnas would come out simultaneously, more or less, and they would all merge into one and get into the meeting. This is how Narada Muni describes it. So, but all the queens were thinking, oh, tonight Krishna is with me. And they were all doing their best to keep Krishna, because they knew there were 1,607 other queens, you know, so they were all doing their best to keep Krishna. So that is also spiritual. So they were very attached to Krishna. So that is good. In one sense, you could also say it's good to be attached to a spiritual husband or a spiritual wife, but then they should be spiritual. So then it's all right. But even then, generally it's recommended to, at the end of life, gradually become a little bit more attached, because the attachment to wife and husband and family is very big. So it's recommended that at the end of our lives, we become a little bit more detached from that. And we can go, for instance, the couple can go to temples and just engage their life more into spirituality, instead of just, you know, like you see, especially in the West, people just sitting at home and playing card games and watching television. This is not what you should do when you get older. What you should do when you get older is you go, for instance, to Radhadesh, or you go to India, you go to Vrindavan, like that. You try to increase your spiritual life. That's the idea. So I'll just quickly go through the purport. One who is not Krishna conscious is subjected to material desires while contemplating the objects of the senses. Yeah, so as soon as you contemplate on the objects of the senses, you are subjected to material desires. You have like a kingdom, and then you have subjects. So the subjects of the kingdom, they are... they have to listen to what the king does. They are subjugated. The king has all the power. He has the army. So if they're not listening, then the king will punish them. So similarly, if we're not Krishna conscious and we see a sense object, then we our senses run away with it, and we just have to have it, or we walk after it like a dog. You can see it. A dog sees a female dog, and then he just runs after it. He cannot control himself. So most people, I mean, it sounds a little bit harsh, but most people are in fact like that. Prabhupada says the animals, They have intelligence, but their intelligence is centered around eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. There, you don't see any dogs in the Bhagavad Gita class, generally. There might be some weird exception. But generally, like we have four cows, the cows are not coming to Bhagavad Gita class either. So, Well, I mean, they could come here. We have a meadow here. They could come and listen, but they are in the barn. They are eating hay, probably. I'm just saying that Prabhupada explains, and it's based on the scriptures, he calls it polished animal life. If you only focus on eating, sleeping, mating, and defending means, you know, you have a house to protect your family, and then if somebody, you know, comes into your house, you call the police. This is like defending. And there's nothing wrong with it, but there is more than that in life. There is also spiritual life. Like we're doing now, we're discussing about spiritual matters, how to come closer to Krishna. So the human life is meant for that. And Prabhupada explains, it's a little bit hard to accept, I mean, I'm mainly speaking about myself, that, you know, you have your karma, and it's already settled up, more or less. So, like, we endeavor so much for happiness, and sometimes we don't get it. We do our best, and we don't get the happiness. And sometimes, and we never endeavor for disease or unhappiness or, you know, like, unfortune. We try to avoid it. But we still get the sick, and we still get, you know, we lose money sometimes. And we try not to lose it, but it still happens. You know? So Prabhupada explains that these things are already settled up. You have a certain amount of money that you will get in your life, and there's a certain amount of disease, and there's a certain amount of loss, and that is settled up. And you cannot avoid it. Certain amount of sense objects, yes, yes. And the idea is that Prabhupada explains is that, so don't work too hard about these things. Work hard about spiritual life. Because that is something that is spiritual. Spiritual means outside of the realm of sense objects, outside of the realm of karma. Karma means action. Karma means beginning and end. Like I strike a match, this is the beginning, and then the end is that there is a fire. This is karma. And the fire, it can burn you. So similarly, in the material world, everything has a beginning and everything has an end. But in the spiritual world, everything is eternal. Like the soul is eternal. So spiritual life, it's on the level of the soul. And it is above karma. So karma, it's already settled up. But this spiritual life, that is something, in one sense it's old, because it's our original position to be spiritual, but we have forgotten it. We are here in this material world since time immemorial. We cannot search it out how long we are already here, life after life after life after life. So now it is in one sense the newest thing. It's like waking up, spiritual life. You know, oh, we remember Krishna, I forgot, oh, it's Krishna. So in one sense, it's a new thing. And that is what we need to focus on. We can spend some time on these things, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, you know, within reason, whatever is necessary. That's actually, if you want to be a pure devotee, you should just do the necessary. Like if you read Bhagavatam, then sometimes these men, like yogis, they are ordered by Lord Brahma. You have to populate the universe. You must get married. And sometimes they are arguing. No, I don't want to get married. I want to keep meditating. And then Narada Muni comes and they start to bring different arguments and then they convince the person, you know, you have to get married. We need your progeny, you know. So like that, they follow the orders. So, but it is by order. And you eat just enough. You sleep just enough. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And yeah, you try to trust on Krishna. You just you don't make a too big a house. You just take a normal house like that. Because my father always used to say, every possession, it you need to take care of it. If you buy a Ferrari, you know, people want to steal it. You need a garage. You know, there's this story of this yogi, and he had like one gopin. And then when he would bathe in the Ganga, then this rat would come and he would eat his gopin. So he thought, let me get a cat. right? Was it like that? To protect my Gopin from the rat. So he got the cat, and then the rat was scared, and he was like very happy with himself, you know, and now my Gopin is safe, and you know. But then the cat was hungry. He started to meow, meow, and he couldn't take his bed. So he thought, how this sound of this cat, you know, let me buy a cow, you know, and I get rid of this cat meowing, you know. So he bought a cow, and he gave the cat some milk, and it was very... But then, how does it go? I think he had to buy a wife, no? Get a wife to take care of the cow? Was it like that? And then what happened? He got fed up, no? Do you remember? Oh, she wanted to have a house. So he talked to the sadhu after he got married and he got a nice family, but he was getting distracted. He couldn't meditate anymore because he was worried about his family or so many things. And then the sadhu came. He said, "You should give it up. You get one desire, you fulfill one desire, you get another desire. It will never end, right?" And then he realized, okay, back to the one Gopin program, right? And I think he left his wife. I don't know if he asked permission. I'm not sure. But what I remember, he just walked out. It was pretty heavy. And he went back to the one Gopin program. He thought, well, let the rat eat my Gopin. I don't care, you know. But it's a very extreme story, of course. I don't recommend it, unless you're on a very high level. But the moral of the story is that you should minimize your needs. You know, like I gave the example of a Ferrari. You don't really need a Ferrari. I saw one program, and these Ferraris, they are very low to the ground. You can't even go certain parking lots, you can't go there because they have like a ramp and it will just scratch your Ferrari. Sometimes it gets stuck. These are race cars, they're for racing. They're not really for going into the city, you know. So they're very impractical and everybody wants to steal them. There's so many thieves, they want to steal your Ferrari. And then if you get a flat tire, it's like, I don't know, I never had a Ferrari, but it's like 400-500 euros at least for one tire, you know, maybe more. So you have to take care of it, you know. I mean, what's the use of a Ferrari? You have three good tires, and there's one flat tire. So, you know, then you're going to worry, oh, how am I going to buy this new tire? So, you know, you just get entangled. So just get a normal car. You know, it doesn't have to be a bad car, but you just get a normal car. And like Prabhupada gives another example, like you can only eat two chapatis, then you're full, or maybe three, that's it. Or you can eat from a gold plate or a normal plate, but it doesn't matter so much. So that's what Prabhupada says, polished animal life. You know, it's a dog he eats and a man he eats. There's not much difference there. Because people are always, you know, before I became a devotee, people are always thinking about what is the difference between animals and men. And then they're like amazed. Oh, look at these animals. They're so intelligent. And they are, in fact, super intelligent. But the intelligence is limited to eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's why I'm explaining. You don't see the animals reading Bhagavad Gita. You don't see a dolphin suddenly with some glasses on and he's got the waterproof Bhagavad Gita. You don't see it. He's very intelligent, but it's all based on his eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So as human beings, we must raise ourselves to above that level of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending and just minimize it more and more. And it's not that we... Because that is the whole secret of these verses and of Krishna consciousness in particular. It's not that we try to minimize eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, but we try to increase our service to Lord Krishna. And then you'll see, especially when you get older, that you just forget about these things. Like it's described that Rupa Goswami, he's one of our acharyas, and they would be in Vrindavan and they would just wear like two cloths, loincloth and kamsha and like one other, and they would just forget to eat. They would sleep 2 hours under a tree, and some devotee even told me that they would sleep every night under a different tree. And he asked me, you know why? He said, because they were afraid that they would get attached to one particular tree. So they were so detached, they wouldn't even stay at the same tree. This is how careful they were. So this is of course the highest level, but we can be inspired by that. And we should aspire it at least, you know. We can at least think like, wow, you know. Like some people want to become as rich as, you know, Bill Gates or whatever, you know. So they at least they have the idea. I want to be. So we should also have the idea, you know, I want to be as staunch as Rupa Goswami. You know, most people know I will never get as rich as Bill Gates, but you can set a high goal, you know. Then maybe you get half as rich as Bill Gates, and that is not bad. It's you're still like a multimillionaire. So same with the Rupa Goswami. You can try to be, if you become half as austere as Rupa Goswami, you're probably more austere than anybody in this temple, you know. So then that's a pretty good result. So anyway, you can set your goals high. But again, the idea is that you just increase your Krishna consciousness. That is the idea. And then all the other things automatically will decrease. So are there any questions on this? Then lust, then anger. Okay, this is an interesting question. Prabhu is asking, if you fulfill your lust, then there is no anger, right? Well, I mean, one answer could be, we just gave the example. You fulfill one desire, you get 10 more. You see? Like, you buy the Ferrari, and then your neighbor buys a Lamborghini. And you're thinking like, damn. The Lamborghini is actually better than the Ferrari, which is actually true. You know, so like that, you know. It just goes on and on and on. So, but it is true, therefore we also, I don't want to say advise, but there's the Grihastha Ashram. So this is actually made for that. You can fulfill certain desires in a Krishna conscious way, but it's restricted. We say you get married, and you marry to one lady, and you stick with that. So it's restricted. So, but there is some scope there to fulfill desires. But the whole idea of the Grihastha Ashram is that you put Krishna in the center. Otherwise, it's going to be very, very difficult to... Because, I mean, we know in our movement there's quite a few divorces, but in the outside of our ISKCON, there's also many divorces. And we can see that generally the couples that are successful, you can see that really put Krishna in the center. I mean, at least what I experience from the Grihasthas that are very successful, you know, I can see they are very serious about Krishna consciousness. I don't know about the ones that get divorced because there might be many other reasons, but at least the ones who are successful, I know that that is what they're doing. So that is definitely very important to keep that in mind. But within that, there's some scope for fulfilling desires. Is that right? Yeah, so that is tomorrow. Then anger, then there becomes illusion. It's here translated as delusion. Yeah, and in the word for word, Prabhupada says illusion. So the idea is, I explained it, you want an ice cream, then you get angry, and then you lose, you just lose your, you know, you cannot think straight anymore. That's the next thing. When delusion, it's bewilderment of memory. You forget things. And then when you forget things, then your intelligence is lost. I explained it like with the car. You know, you want a diamond, and you become deluded, and you forget that it's already past 6 o'clock, and then you lose your intelligence, and then you get run over by a car. So like that. Different emotions. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're discussing it also yesterday. You have to catch it before, because my personal experience, once I get angry, I'm lost. It's too late. Yeah. You can see it even Lord Shiva. He gets angry and is lost. Or even with his wife, the example is given here. Parvati was kind of seducing him, and he kind of lost it. And he then they had Kartikeya. So the idea is that you have to replace these sense objects with the Krishna conscious objects. That is what Maharaj Ambarish did. We explained that yesterday, we went through the whole list, you know. You eat prasadam, you go to the temple, you touch the devotee's body, you smell the flowers of Krishna, like that. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know one story in Amsterdam, you know, that they were installing Lord Jagannath, Subhadra Maharani and Lord Baladev, and everything went really wrong, you know. And at some stage, Prabhupada asked for the fruits, for the offering, for the yajna, and they brought him a bowl of canned fruit salad. And Prabhupada became so angry, he started to scream. And then there was this bhakta, and you know, the whole month, everybody told him whenever he got like angry, just chant Hare Krishna. So then he started saying that also to Prabhupada. He said, why don't you just chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada just looked at him, and he put his hand in his beat bag, and he started to chant. This Amsterdam is hopeless, you know. So we can chant Hare Krishna, but it's, like I said, for me personally, it's very difficult. So you need to try and catch yourself before that. Yeah. Well, like I said, you can ask him to chant Hare Krishna, or I would actually say more practical, you can give him some prasadam, or something like that, some transcendent. You can offer him a flower, or a present. Krishna conscious present, some burfi or a book, something like that. I don't know. Yes? Yeah. Hanuman. Yeah, but it's true, but we always have to check if the anger is for sense gratification or for Krishna's gratification. And generally, my experience is I get angry when my sense gratification becomes disturbed. Like I don't get enough sleep or not get enough prasadam, I get angry. You see, so we have to check, is it for Krishna or is it for me? If it's for me, then it's material. So we should be very careful in judging that. You see? So he's saying the same thing. You catch your anger before it catches you. Yeah. So it's like a little bit like a hospital. So we want to not just only cure the disease, but we also want to completely, which is what we will do right now. This is chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.